You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, for the second night in a row, you and I have been talking to a friend of ours in Texas while we're in California. And our friend is watching CNN and Fox News. So kind of switching back and forth between the two stations. And from what he has said both nights, they're completely polar opposite in how they are reporting the riots, just everything that's going on.
Well, what appears to be happening is with Fox News, they're covering the rioting, the looting, all of the violence that's taking place, cities completely out of control, and CNN doesn't appear to be covering it in that manner. They tend to be covering police excessive force and peaceful protests and more of a justification for why all of this is taking place in the United States. So, I mean, I don't think they could be more polar opposites as to what's taking place really in the United States.
Which is the entire theme of what I want to talk about, because our politicians are polar opposites also. You have politicians who are, you know, calling for peace, and you have politicians who are taking a knee with demonstrators. You have politicians who are trying to get the rule of law to be enforced, and you have politicians who are excusing all of the bad behavior.
You know, I don't have a problem with politicians taking a knee in solidarity with the Black community over the senseless death of George Floyd. I have always, and I've written extensively about this, I have always been offended by entitled athletes taking knees, people taking knees, and the reason on that occasion is disrespect for the flag, disrespect for the military, disrespect for our country. I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with people in solidarity over the senseless death of George Floyd. That being said, the protests in solidarity and in support of the memory of George Floyd is completely different than what is taking place with rioting, looters, shooters, people that have killed police officers, people that have seriously injured police officers, people coming from out of town, agitators, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, poop disturbers, people that have no buy-in to the communities that they are agitating in and destroying. I have serious issues with that.
Well, whether or not they have buy-ins, I have serious issues with the way that they're going about this. And again, this has nothing to do with George Floyd. These are people that are taking advantage of this situation to loot. And other people like the George Soros types who are taking advantage to send in agitators, to send in Antifa, to the goal being to take down our government. That is the goal. And I don't want to see our politicians jump in bed with them, because I just feel like our politicians no longer know what the heck they're doing. And they are, you know, I asked the question the other night, I'm going to answer it tonight. Whether these looters and these rioters and these people that are setting fires are getting out on no bail? And the answer is yes. So what do you think they do when they get out?
Well, they go right out and they do the same thing, which is the mission statement. That's the reason why they came in the first place. That's the reason for the looting. They know that they can get out with zero bail. This is all crap. And, you know, you talk about these politicians. If people think back in our history, it's politicians that got us to where we are today. And I mean in a negative sense. They got us here today in a negative sense. It was Democrats, not Republicans, that got us slavery and kept slavery in the United States. And as and well after the Civil War, these same politicians encouraged racism, encouraged segregation, all of the bad things. So we have a tragedy of slavery in the United States, and it was politicians that kept people enslaved and had a lot to do with systemic racism at that time. But we have also moved significantly away from racism, but now it rears its ugly head. But racism is a two-way street, Linda. Would you not agree with me with that? I have met so many people of color that were racist, and I have met white people who were racist. I've met Asian people who were racist against other people of different cultures and different colors. So yes, we do have racism, but not to the extent that these agitators would try to convince the American people and the media would attempt to convince the American people that we have it at this level.
Well, and we don't have it, and we didn't have it at this level until President Obama, you know, threw a wedge in between blacks and other colors, other races. That was not the case prior. Everything was going pretty well. Everything was progressing pretty well until he continued to bring up the subject of racism. And now people think that there's racism where there is no racism. And by the way, racism is not whites against blacks. Racism can be blacks against whites. It can be Asians against whites, Asians against black. It can be anybody against anybody. And then you can throw in, if you want to just muddy up the water, throw in the LGBTQ communities, and you can say that you're biased against them. I mean, everybody's got a bone to pick with somebody else. And here's the thing, Ron. The politicians, when you watch the news right now, it's as plain as the nose on your face, you being an Italian, so that is even more plain.
They picked on my people.
They did.
But they picked on the Germans.
Sure.
They picked on the Koreans. I mean, you name it. Who cared? The Poles, the Russians. I mean, you name it who's come over here. Middle Easterners, everybody takes their turn in the bucket.
Right. But what you have right now is you have all the people who are supposed to be the leaders, the parents of the country, the leaders that we have elected, the people that are supposed to be deciding for us. Those people are seriously abusing those powers. And they are abusing them in the ways that when you listen to them all day long on the news, I pick any stations and just listen to the talk. This side says this, that side says that. Nobody agrees on anything. How do you expect the American people to come together when their leaders are setting the worst example in the history of this country of being leaders of people? The leaders need to come together. The leaders need to be the adults in the room, and everybody else will follow. But they are not. And then they twist their hands and they say, oh, why is this happening? Because of you. That's why.
Well, here's my theme, and it's a depressing theme, so get ready for it, okay? I wish I could have put something a little bit stronger in your coffee tonight, but here's my take on this. You know, I heard Mark Cuban today, the person that owns one of our, you know, big athletic franchises.
Dallas.
And he's out of Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. Exactly right, and he's, you know, a gazillionaire. And he's saying that, you know, America – has got to unify. We've got together, get together. President Trump has said that. Former President George Bush said that today. All sorts of other people are saying it. I got to tell you something. Just look at our history, our recent history over the last 25 years. And I'm depressed about it because America is not going to unify. It's just not. I think we are polar opposites. We have communities that have self-segregated. We have communities that want to take us back to the 1950s. We have blacks that want to go back to separation and self-segregation. Black nationalists don't want anything to do with any other race or culture except for Black nationalism. Antifa or agitators, they want to destroy the country, as you said. They are actually the real fascists in this country. That's an oxymoron. You know, Antifa, anti-fascists, they are the true fascists.
And people that have left that organization say as much.
Right. And the LGBT community all of these different people, all what I call are hyphenated Americans. Okay, so before we had Americans. Then all of a sudden we had African Americans, and then we had Mexican Americans and Asian Americans and Italian Americans, and I mean, you name it, hyphen Americans, and that does not speak to unity. That does not resonate or reconcile with the unification of a country. It is separatism at its worst. And so this is what we have. And when you see the new progressive left and the Democrats, you know, constantly doing race baiting and, you know, many of the tricks that they do, such as class warfare and, you know, things of that nature. None of this serves to unify the United States of America. And so, you know, if you go back and you look, just look, let's look back in the last 20 years, 9/11, people said after we were attacked, America was going to unify. This was going to bring us together. This was our Pearl Harbor. And it lasted for about a year. And then we didn't have it. We went back to disunity. So then come about 2009, we elect our first Black president, Barack Obama, who promised to unify the country, to promise to unify minorities, to unify whites, to unify us as a nation of one people, or, you know, e pluribus unum, okay? And that was a huge fraud. Obama didn't unify. He divided this nation. He disenfranchised police within being on the job within 3 months. And he cheated the minority community, preventing them from advancing economically and in society. Okay, our first Black president was probably one of the greatest disunifiers in the history of all presidents in the United States.
Well, Barack Obama was not only a disunifier, he took race relations back 30 to 40 years, in my opinion. He told Black people that they were discriminated against. He criticized Christianity. He criticized whites. He really just did a lot of damage to this country. And that has stayed with us, unfortunately. And President Trump is trying to level that playing field again. And oh my gosh, what a job he's done with raising up all of the different races, all of them.
He's the first person in a long time, meaning Trump, to come across and actually, you know, as he says, promises kept.
Yes.
Made promises to raise up people throughout the United States of all races, colors, and creeds. Raise them up socially, raise them up economically, give them a head start in life, give them some hope. Remember Barack Obama's theme during his campaign was hope and change.
Yes.
Right? And all he ever did was talk about hope and change. He gave them hope. He just didn't give them change.
No, he didn't do anything for them. And, you know, the only way that I think about him is the corruption in his administration, the lies that they told, and the golf games. I mean, the many, many golf games. And, you know, President Trump works and works and works, and he works through this every single day. And he's not out playing as, you know, Obama used this country and that job as his personal vacation land.
You know, I don't want to, you know, belabor that and go down that road. But I do want to stay on the theme of disunity. You know, Barack Obama and people like John Kerry and people like Joe Biden, who's unfortunately running for the presidency right now, they took a world tour and disenfranchised America from the rest of the world. Okay. they disenfranchised Americans from America. And people need to remember that. And in my mind, that should never be forgiven. But here we are, and we're just, what, 4 years from Ferguson, because Ferguson happened in, 2016, the shooting of Michael Brown by Officer Darren Wilson, which was a case that I analyzed. And we are going down the same road. This is not this country's first rodeo. Rodney King, my first federal case, and I worked on the prosecution on that case. We had over, I think, something like 58 people killed in Watts and in the black communities, billions of dollars damaged, businesses in the minority community that have never recovered and never will recover, minority-owned businesses, the vast, vast majority, and the people that were able to have insurance and build up their businesses again did not build up those businesses in that community. They moved out of that community so that their businesses could thrive. And that, to this day, if you drive in that area of Los Angeles, of South Central, there are complete blocks that have not recovered. And Rodney King was, what, 1993, 1994?
Yeah, well, and they don't recover quickly because they don't have a lot of things. Okay, they don't have the education. They don't have the family unit to back up the kids and, get them in the right mindset to be young adults that can succeed in life. It becomes, an area of gangs, and it becomes an area of
drugs and hopelessness and despair.
And therefore, what do they have to lose by doing what they're doing? So what they do is they go on Rodeo Drive and they grab a $5,000 Gucci purse and, they sell it on eBay or something and they make a few bucks. That is how small their worlds are, because they don't have anything else that has been given to them. And there's so many socioeconomic and social reasons for that, and family reasons, that we as a community, as a nation, ought to be looking at. But this cannot be accepted as it's being accepted.
No, and we've been talking about race and race relations and everything. So I mean, that's a good conversation to have. But let's move a little bit away from race, but let's keep it on politics. And the question that I have for you is, why do these people in the inner city, and also people that live out of the inner city, which are, I'm talking straight to the liberal community and the new progressives and the Democrats, seeing everything that they are seeing now and seeing the history of their party, I'm just completely confounded and confused, and maybe you can help me.
Well, as soon as I get you a cup of coffee, we can talk about that.
Well, then let's do that, because I've got questions for you, young lady.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Thanks for the cup of coffee, but I want to hit you up again, because I want you to help me out here. why do these people keep voting for the politicians that are destroying their communities and destroying their futures? And I'm talking about progressive Democrats.
Well, I think you've probably got me there on that question, because I ask that question every day and we discuss it a lot, that I don't understand why people keep voting unless they, I just don't know. There's a couple of things that strike me immediately. One is that they've been Democrats all their lives. They're just going to stay Democrats and they don't think further than that. And the second obvious one is the what's happening in the schools, you know. So if they're younger, then they've already been brainwashed. But I don't think a lot of people pay that much attention. And those that do, that pay attention to the news, again, you get such different versions of the news. Don Lemon on CNN right now is proclaiming that Donald Trump is trying to be a dictator. There could be nothing further from the truth. You go to Fox, you hear the opposite. So who do they listen to and who do they believe? Because the news media, I think, has a huge hand in how people perceive things that don't have time or care to go find out the real truth.
So do you think to a certain measure that there is a portion of the public, Linda, that is completely disengaged from what is going on in our world in the United States, and they're disengaged from politics, and then they are just rote memory, rote voters, Democrats, 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 but they don't consider the consequences of their vote? I mean, what do you think is going on there?
Ron, I wish that I knew. If I knew the answer, then maybe I could do whatever little part I could do to help. What I don't understand, and I want to talk this through because it's something that really bothers me. If you live in a community and your judges, your politicians have just released all the criminals into your community, why would you ever vote those people in? Now, I understand that there's a lot of bleeding hearts out there that think, oh, these poor people shouldn't be in jail. There should be some better way. No, when they're raping and killing your wife or your children or your mother, you know, come on. You've got some people have to be locked up, and you cannot let everybody out. The no bail situation, I just don't even understand. So then you take a Gavin Newsom in California, who now is going to be closing more prisons and putting the prisoners out into the public to save some money. How about saving some money on that bullet train? How about saving some money in not paying all the illegal aliens money? There's so many other places you can save money, but not in the public safety.
Well, you and I, and of course, you know, this is another Dr. Ron and Linda on the road, right, with the RV and the dog. And so we make the trek for business because we still have businesses in California. And we make the trek from Texas out to California to visit our staff. And I think you needed to do some new computer updates and some training and things like that. I've got a couple of things that I need to do with my staff out here. But we came out here and we have been remarking since the moment we got across the Arizona-California line just how surreal it is to be back in California. And yesterday was a wonderful example of the distinction between where we live now in Texas, which is in a very safe, just a beautiful, aesthetically beautiful area with very, very nice people, where we don't have these issues. And then we come here to, you know, Calisuela. And what did we do yesterday? Well, first of all, there was a curfew in our town, you know, set by the sheriff, I think, in our town, and it was at 6 o'clock. So, boy, it gets to be 5 o'clock. You know, we're starting to pack up our stuff, and I had to go pick up your car, and I drive your car back, and as I drive into the lot, I see this tattooed parolee with a crowbar in his hand, and he's looking through one of the windows of our office. right? Because, you know, we're actually doing work there, but most of the businesses in our office complex, the people are not working. They're doing the stay-at-home thing. And I challenge the guy, and, you know, he gives me some lip, and, you know, he gets told to move on, and he does move on. But so we close up shop, and we're driving to the RV park, and we look on Interstate 10, and heading eastbound towards Los Angeles are 16 sheriffs and police cars going code 3, lights and siren, lickety split, heading eastbound towards Los Angeles. And it is like a war zone out here.
Well, and today my tire was slashed, my brand new tire that is less than 2 weeks old. So I'm sorry, but I'm not being happy right now about this. The point to me is I want to understand why people either don't pay attention enough to honestly learn, and they're just so, at this point, they're so in the I hate Trump mode that they're going to vote Democrat no matter what. Do you not think about your families? Do you not think about your income? Do you not think about your jobs and your taxes and your gas prices and all of those things, about the people fleeing from your states that make such a difference, and about them letting criminals out?
Well, California's been heading down this road for quite some time.
But it's not just California.
No, it's not. But we're here in California. You know, I want to share the experience and a little bit of the history of California. So going back about 10 years ago, we had Proposition 109, and then we had Proposition 47. Within the last 6 years, five, 6 years, we had 47. And what these bamboozling politicians managed to convince the public, and by the way, there were some district attorneys, there were a couple of sheriffs, you know, that were part of this whole fraud. And what they did was unloaded tens of thousands of violent prisoners out of the prison system and dumped them into the jails. Then they screwed up the jails, where now people have to be released from the jails within, you know, 24 to 48 hours to avoid the jail overcrowding. And so these people are all released back into the community. And I think, and then, you know, nationwide, we have this ridiculous posturing with something called restorative justice, whatever that means, and they just, it's not well thought out. And as a result, we've got crime going through the roof, where literally people can go and commit crime after crime after crime after crime and be released almost immediately upon booking.
And what do you think they do? They come right back and do it again, either to the same or different people.
And as you say, Linda, the question that bears a response is, to what end?
Right. To what end are people not paying attention to their vote? To what end are you, here's another to what end. To what end are parents not paying attention to what their children are learning in school, the revisionist history, the LGBTQ information in the first grade? One of my dear friends came to me yesterday and said, oh my gosh, you know, this other mutual friend is horrified because in first grade they're teaching her daughter to, you know, about that if you feel like a boy and you want to be a boy, that's okay. You know, I mean, just all of these things that are not the school's place to teach. But parents have gotten too busy. They don't pay attention to the curriculum. They just let it be, and it cannot be this way. People have to get involved and really pay attention to who they're voting for, because they are destroying their communities with these fake leaders.
Well, what's happening is that parents are so caught up in the stress of earning an income, especially in California, where it's very difficult to live because it's so darn expensive. And so they have entrusted their children to the teachers. And when you do that, you forget that you've entrusted a stranger to teach your kids using whatever methodology the progressive left school systems have put together for your kids. And so now you have people that do not share your values, especially if you're a Christian, and they are teaching your kids in a 100%
or a Republican,
you know, secular, secular methodology. And like you said, they are teaching, you know, sexuality and sexual awareness, and that is not their job. That is the job of the parent. If you want to teach sexual hygiene, you want to teach biology, you want to teach those things, you know, how children are made, you know, the birds and the bees, how children are made type of thing, that's okay. And, you know, when I was a high school teacher, that was one of the jobs that I had. And I was very, very careful on how, you know, I taught that class, because I wanted to make it a clear point that I was not going to instill any of my values onto children who have parents. That is the parents' responsibility, not the teacher's responsibility.
But that was in high school, and this is in first grade. And when I was in school, the school had to send a note home, and the parent had to get permission for you to be in those classes.
And I think that's the way it should, and hopefully it should still be.
Well,
that
I think, you know, here's what I hope is a silver lining of the whole coronavirus thing with parents staying home. I hope that they talked to their kids. I hope that they learned what they were learning, looked at their school books, looked at their curriculum, really found out what they were learning, and see if you agree with it or not. And if you don't, then get out. There was, in the same instance that I just spoke about the mother, in the same school, there was a teacher who said, I can't teach this. I cannot teach this to these young kids. And she quit. And that's what we need, is we need people taking a stand. So it's the same thing with voting, where you go back and you vote for these Maxine Waters, the Nancy Pelosi's, the
Chuck Schumer's,
the Schiff's of the world, over and over and over. You allow somebody like Adam Schiff to lie and lie and lie in front of the American people, in front of Congress, and then you re-vote him in. You allow Ocasio-Cortez to, you know, basically be have all of her footnotes from a George Soros or one of his minions, and that is the type of person that you've elected. Is that where you want America to go? I mean, what are we thinking that would be how people would vote? And the same thing goes for local politicians. The same thing goes for school boards. The same thing goes for judges.
You know, when I talk with people that are liberal, and I'm lucky enough to enjoy a very civil, discussion with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I ask them these questions. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to put them on the spot. I just say, you know, with all of this stuff going on, I know you're a Democrat. Are you going to vote Democrat this time? And the vast majority of them say, yeah. And I said, and you do understand who's running for president, correct? And meaning Biden. And they say, yes. And I said, you do realize that you had 8 years of Biden and you had 30 years of Biden as a senator. And, you know, what did you look at his track record? Did you see what was accomplished and what was not accomplished?
Well, he made a lot of money.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, what did these people do for their communities? And what I get is sort of, you know, a combination of a feel good response, an idealistic, non-pragmatic, altruistic response. Well, I think this time around they can do a better job. And then what classically happens is the hatred for Donald Trump comes out. Well, I don't care what kind of an idiot this person is, he's going to be a damn sight better president than Donald Trump is. Well, wait a minute. You had this guy as a senator for 30 years, and you had him as a vice president, you know, for 8 years, and he's accomplished nothing. Do you think that all of a sudden the tiger stripes are going to change and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to get hope and change? How did that work out for you?
I still don't understand from the many people in the country who express the hatred of Trump. I still don't understand it. What this was a businessman who made a fortune building buildings. What was there so hateful about him?
Well, you know, I'm stymied. Listen, you know that I have said on many of these coffee conversations that, you know, first of all, I'm a supporter of the president. I like the vast majority of things that he has done. And he has absolutely kept his promise on pretty much as he's been able to accomplish everything that he said he was going to do within his ability to accomplish those things and not be obstructed by the Democratic Party. About 10% of the time, Donald J. Trump makes me want to beat my head against the wall and pull what's left of my hair out of my head. Okay. And I wish he didn't have a Twitter account, and I wish he wasn't so vociferous, and I wish he wasn't so sophomoric sometimes. I just wish that. But that's the only things that I don't like about Donald Trump. I look at, why did I vote for you? And did you bring me what you said you were going to bring me?
Well, we've got a wall.
Exactly.
We've got jobs. We've got economy. We've got a better economic situation with our overseas partners.
And you and
he got out of the Iranian agreement.
Exactly.
I mean, you name it, he's done it.
Built up our military, did all the things, helped our veterans, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Okay. Gave our military raises. It was just disgraceful what happens with our military families. And he has done all of the things that he said he was going to do within, you know, reason, and, you know, put people on the Supreme Court, conservatives and constitutionalists on the Supreme Court, which is a huge thing. And so I have to look at, did he move us down the road farther, or did he set us back like his predecessor? And I can live with the 10% of, you know, hey, Donald, you know, I don't like what you're doing. I can live with that if 90% of what the president is doing is where I believe we as a nation need to go.
I like the Twitter, by the way. I'll take it.
You like the Twitter.
You know what? He's on there every day. You don't go on. Most of what he says.
I don't even have a Twitter account. Yeah,
no, most of what he says is, I think it's good stuff. There's sometimes, like, he says something, you just go, why did you say that?
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No.
Okay? I'm going to look, as a pragmatist, I'm going to look at what this president has done for us. And as long as we're continuing to move forward, I'm in this guy's corner and I'm supporting him 1,000%.
Well, yes. Well, let's have another cup of coffee and then we'll keep going.
All right. One more cup. Here we go.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Well, you know, we're speaking of misinformation that's out there, and the movie stars are always involved. They always have to, you know, speak their piece, and of course they're entitled to, and it's always, almost always, a very liberal side. So we have a percentage of movie stars that are donating money to bail these guys out of jail. However, there's no bail, so I don't know, you know.
And you're talking
in
about
a lot of places.
You're not just talking about the protesters. You're talking about the looters.
Yes.
And the
burners.
And the burners and the shooters.
Yes.
And the people that are assaulting little old ladies, destroying businesses, injuring police officers. Okay, yes. That's who you're talking
to. Yeah. So now they have a new little thing where they're posting black squares on like Twitter or on the internet. And it's just a black square. And the black square is supposed to, you know, say something about police brutality. Well, I have news for these stars is why don't you get yourselves educated? And everybody who's talking about the horrible police brutality and the horrible racism in the police departments are just abjectly wrong, because the stats and the police departments and the officers around the country, well, that is not borne out by anything.
Can I give myself a little plug here for a second,
please,
Linda? Because you know I wrote a very popular book called The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And it's just sold thousands and thousands of copies. And it is a completely forensic account of the Black Lives Matter movement and the entire history. It talks about George Soros. It talks about what you're just talking about, like Jay-Z and Beyonce and the funding of millions and millions of dollars into this black militant organization. But it talks about what the goals and objectives of the Black Lives Matter movement is. But it also talks about chapter by chapter very accurately about the false narratives that the Black Lives Matter movement has continuously put out about excessive force and officers killing black people. Okay. And, you know, people really should educate themselves and pick up a copy of my book. And it's not on Amazon anymore. It's on www.drronmartinelli.com. drronmartinelli.com. And if they get on that site, which is actually my forensic blog, I've got a ton of articles that talk about exactly what you're talking about, and they can also pick up a copy of that book. And it's not an opinion book. It is, wouldn't you say, Linda? It's a very forensic book.
No, it's a forensic. It's a forensic book.
And it's a resource. It's a go-to
yeah,
resource.
Yeah, it's full of facts. It's not full of speculation. So that when these people are talking about these horrible police brutalities that happen all over the country, let's talk about that just for a second. First of all, as you have said, and as we all know, not we all know, because if we did, we wouldn't have these problems.
It's a good point.
Yeah. But police officers in the country make millions of stops, millions of contacts with people for one reason or another.
Every month. Don't forget, we got about 600,000 uniformed peace officers of all different state, municipal, federal agencies working. They literally make tens of millions of contacts with the public every month, not just a year, every single month. And out of those, only actually less than 2% resort in any use of force whatsoever. Not officer-involved shootings, not serious injuries, any use of force, from handcuffing all the way up to an officer-involved shooting. Okay?
Yes.
Less than 2% of tens of millions of contacts.
I've heard the figure 0.1%, so I'm not sure what's right. Yeah. But it's a very small figure. And to listen to the people on CNN or these movie stars, this is just like everyday stuff, and that is so far from the truth. Now, in this case, where we have the officer
George Floyd as the victim
that
in this
killed,
case,
yes, that killed George Floyd, right. Or caused his death. I don't know if I'll say killed, because you know all of the facts are not out. So I always wait for that, unlike most people. But as far as that situation, that was one man, right? And everybody has made it be a racist thing. We don't know that at all. We don't know that it was racist at all. However, since then, we have had a police officer in Las Vegas shot in the back of the head during the performance of his duties. We have had four officers in St. Louis shot. We have had numerous police officers shot, murdered, run over,
And a number of these officers have been black men, okay?
Yes.
Officers of color, black men.
So right? Where is the racism let's just leave that out of the conversation, because in my opinion, this has nothing to do with anything at all. It's a red herring.
Well, what it is, it's don't look at it in terms of color and race. When it comes to police officers, look at it in terms of these men and women are wearing a badge and they're wearing a uniform, and that's a target. Okay. And you and I have both been in law enforcement, and we both understand what it's like to have a target on our back. Okay.
It was nothing in those days like it is now. I mean, there were incidents, but now this is crazy. Where an officer is performing his duty and he's making an arrest and handcuffing somebody, and somebody walks up and shoots him in the back of the head. And we had the same exact scenario not too long ago on a car stop where somebody did the same thing. This can't stand. If you're going to riot, I want to see riots in favor of our police, because the police are
the thin blue line.
They are the thin blue line, and they are just 99.99% really, really good, responsible people who are out there protecting society day in and day out. And how dare our country allow them to be treated this way without outrage and just stopping these people. Speaking of stopping these people,
I'd like to stop you for a minute just so I could get a word in edgewise here, lady. But I think people need to know that suspects killed by police have been reduced by over 50% in just the last 20 years. So over a 50% reduction in officer-involved shooting death cases in the last 20 years, which is remarkable.
Yes, but attacks on officers have gone up probably the same amount or more.
You know, like I said in the book, and especially in the statistics from 2016, 2017, we have lost more officers per year than in any other time since 1934, during the Depression and the Bonnie and Clyde years, okay? We did have a really bad year in 1974 where we lost a lot of police officers. But those, again, were during radical times, Black Panther Party, Weather Underground, you know, the same kind of stuff that's going on now. You know, it was Vietnam War was winding down, and, you know, we had all of these people killing our officers. But again, you know, I really encourage them to pick up a copy of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, because the statistics, and I put all the references in there. You don't have to trust Dr. Ron. I mean, you can, all the references are there. You can Google every single one of those restaurants, and I teach you how to do it. I teach people how to be little forensic investigators and get those statistics. And I'm telling you, this year, we are going to see a rise again, like we did in 2016, 2017, and officers being shot and killed. And just on an average, every single year, we have somewhere between 56,000 and 59,000 officers that are assaulted, many of whom are seriously injured by suspects. And that's huge. We lose more officers, Linda, every single year to our own people in the United States than we do in all of the conflicts that we have going on around the world with our military. I don't think people know that. More officers are lost in our own country than overseas in conflicts.
They need to not sit back and listen to the Kool-Aid that people are serving them, or drink the Kool-Aid that people are serving them. The other thing was, today you showed me, I don't remember where it was, the city where people have all of their AR-15s out and they're protecting their
city. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Not a good place to riot, because that is traditionally a place where lots of police go to retire.
That's exactly right. I think I could be wrong here, okay, but I think Idaho has probably the number one, if not one of the top three, greatest populations of retired peace officers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they still know how to handle a firearm. Well, here's what I think should happen. Since I'm talking about the news so much and how they you know, you talk about the talking heads that are on the news. So you listen to the people on CNN, the Don Lemons and the Rachel Maddows and those kind of people. You listen to them and what they say, and all of their guests who are handpicked to say whatever they want them to say. Same thing on the conservative side. You listen to Fox and they all have their views and their handpicked guests, right? I want to see the guests that are the real people. I want to see sitting in those panels, a panel of those actual thugs that are out there looting and burning and destroying people's property and destroying people's lives. I want to see those people up there. And I want them to ask them, you know, why are you doing this? And see if it has anything to do with George Floyd. They won't even know who that guy is. They will, it would be an eye-opening experience to America to see that this is not about George Floyd and his death. Although there are those good people that are out there that are peacefully, you know, praying, having prayer vigils and so forth. I don't disagree with that. But I want to see the people who are really causing this, and I want to see what they say, because I think if people saw who really is causing this, it would totally change their opinion.
Well, I think based on some of the interviews that I've seen with people like from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and of course I've interviewed a number of people, including really high positioned people in Black Lives Matter movement. And I've asked them some of those same questions, and I can tell you basically what they're going to say. And it goes back to the systemic class warfare in this country, which is perpetuated by the Democratic Party, the new progressives, the militant socialists, the Marxists, and the communists. And they're going to tell you that because of systemic racism and systemic injustice, if I can use that word, injustice, yeah. I beg your pardon, and rich versus poor and slave reparations, they feel that they are entitled to steal from the rich, who whatever that is defined as, and get some of their own. Okay, so these are the people that are saying that. By and large, people that are entitled white people, you know, this whole word about white privilege. Well, actually, there are some people out there that do have white privilege, okay? And
well, they're not even all white.
Well, they're not, but they're, you got a lot of them are college kids, okay? And mom and dad are paying the freight. So I guess you could say that's white privilege, all right? But when you listen to those people, they are so uneducated. They don't know anything about civics. They don't know anything about this government. They don't know anything about history. It's all the things that you said, Linda. It's generation upon generation of revisionist history, made up history, false narratives, a lack of understanding civics and civil rights and government. And so they have no respect. What they don't understand, they do not respect. And they want to see this country destroyed as far as the democratic form of government.
I don't even think that a lot of these people, Ron, think that far. A lot of these people that are doing this, literally, in my opinion, are street thugs, and they have no idea why they're doing this other than that it's an opportunity that has arisen for them to go loot. And that's why they're doing it. They are not doing it because they have some wonderful cause that things should be better. Because those people don't go into the Gucci store and steal a $5,000 purse. Okay, they're going to act differently than that.
Well, they don't burn minority businesses
and churches
from minority businesses. So, and again, we're talking about a combination of those types of people that you're talking about, and also people that I'm also talking about, such as militants, Antifa, Black Lives Matter people. You know, and by the way, Black Lives Matter supporters are not just blacks, okay? Just to be clear about that. But again, they're uneducated. They don't understand some of the things that you and I have just talked about with regards to, you know, is there really excessive force out there in the law enforcement community? Well, yes, that's a forensic fact that there's some excessive force out there in the law enforcement community. But again, it's like, I mean, as I said in the book, it's like micro percentages. Even near 1%. Those 1% are uses of force. Excessive force cases? Oh my God, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of 1% for excessive force.
And the thing is that police officers are highly regulated. You thought that was water and that was wine, so I hope you enjoyed that sip right now.
A little bit strong, lady. What else you got in there?
The police are highly looked at in everything that they do.
Scrutinized.
And they are second-guessed about everything, and they are sued all the time. So don't tell me that there's no watching over the police, because they are so watched over that it's to the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah, you know, one of the jobs that I had for Riverside County, California, actually not the county, but the city of Riverside, and for 3-4 years, I was one of those oversight people where I took a look at all officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths working out of the mayor's office for their police review commission. They needed an outside independent expert to talk to them about what was going on and, you know, what did I think about these cases? Was it excessive? Was it appropriate? Was it justified? That's after a police investigation, an internal affairs investigation, and an investigation by the district attorney's office. Then I would take a look at it. And, you know, during the 4 years that I was there, and I investigated several death cases, I didn't find one where the officers were at fault or culpable. Every single thing I looked at was justified. My point is that, you know, the vast majority of officers' uses of force are justified. And by the way, I do a tremendous amount of civil rights work where I'm actually working on behalf of plaintiffs and people of color, just like this week. Everything I'm doing this week is civil rights and looking at cases involving people of color.
Well, sure, because fair is always fair, and it goes both ways. It's not one-sided, and that's what I'm seeing now. The point that has been bothering me continues to be why people continue to vote these people in that do nothing for their communities, that do nothing but actually race bait and get people stirred up, and who, you know, say F you to the president, who want to impeach the president. I mean, all of these things. We need to stop it, and we need to. They're not going to unify us, Ron. We need to do it ourselves.
Well, I'm glad you got to that, Linda, because that's kind of like roundabout to the theme. America is not going to unify because politicians are leading us towards unification. That is never going to happen. Politicians are responsible in large part for our disunity. Okay? It is only going to be the American people that bring us back to a unified country, or at least one where we respect each other.
And that's by getting these people out of office. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for bed.
Me too.